the Saturday Light Brigade, and we are all good and ready to go. It's today's a real treat. I don't know that we've done this. If we have, it's been a long time. We have two folks here today, and they're going to play kind of what we call round robin style. Alan Cherry will play a song. We'll talk a little bit. Bring Tony into the conversation. Tony Denikis will play a song. And that'll be sort of wash and rinse. And then we're going to repeat. I don't know if one of you wants to be wash or rinse, but and we'll do that several times as we listen to the music. Both are from Maryland, and they were both at the Bottle Brush Gallery last night for Harmony in the House. And we're going to get started with Alan Cherry.
Great. Thank you.
Please don't sell the piano. Still has songs left to play. It won't tell a soul, no, all the things I said, but I really shouldn't say. Please don't tell the piano. You fear it's sad and depressed. Before the sun settles down, take out the keys and cut the strings, press the pedals right into the ground. Let the wind, the rain, and time age it to its bones. So we will have to start again with voices, trees, and stones. Please, please don't. Please don't tell the piano. They've come to take it away. And please don't sell the piano. Still has songs left to play. Still has songs.
That's Alan Cherry. What a nice
Thank you. Song.
And did that, when did you write that?
I wrote it a couple of years ago because my parents were had called me and they were going to sell my childhood piano. And because they wanted to put a couch where the piano was.
Oh.
And I was heartbroken. But also I was thinking about the idea that when you are a creative person, like many people, you can sometimes, is the correct word, anthropomorphize instruments,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and make them sort of maybe more alive than they are. And I had this idea that I had told the piano some intimate details that I was afraid of if they sold it, it would reveal to other people.
did the piano stay? Or
the piano, it's a horrible time to sell a piano at either through a shop or on Craigslist. And so they were not able to sell it. And so instead they mailed it. They put a stamp on it. They sent it through the U.S. I'm just kidding. They shipped it from Texas to Baltimore, and it lives with me now.
Oh, well, that's very
so
nice. So
it's a really nice end to the story.
That's very nice.
I think if you want a piano from your parents, all you have to do is write an album and then wait a year, and then they will send it to you.
They'll give it to you. That's all it takes.
That's the lesson I've learned from this experience.
Well, that's try that at home. You know, I felt our childhood piano could not be tuned at all. And I was very emotionally attached to that piano. And I think my mom had lived in an assisted living place towards the end of her life. And the piano was in her room. And I think it's still there after she passed away because we thought maybe somebody would like it. But I that relationship with the instrument is really something. In fact, I was visiting my sister-in-law and their family last weekend, and some of their kids just got a new house, and they've got a music room and an old spinet that is the center of that room, and it's really nice to see that tradition.
I think keyboards are great, and I'm happy to play them, but there's nothing that replaces the wood and steel and the resonance of a real instrument. So it's wonderful. Yeah. And they're just lovely. They're comforting.
Absolutely.
I think pianos are wonderful. They're great furniture, too.
Yes. Oh, gosh. We should do a piano show. Pianos and me.
That sounds like a good idea.
Actually, I'm holding back on a number of piano stories I could tell you right now. The worst of which, notice how I got it in anyway, was when I hit my head running towards the piano. Because whoever sat at the piano sort of owned the rights to play the piano for a while, at least in a house of three boys. The TV was the same thing, back when houses only had one television. So I thought my brother David was going to play the piano. He's 13. I'm about 7. And, you know, I wanted to get there first. Mm-hmm. But little did I know, he was just getting up to go to the bathroom. So he kind of did a fake on me, and I collided with the piano. There's a little mark from my head and a little mark on my head.
When you said worse, I thought you were going to talk about how you and the piano had robbed a bank or committed some crimes together
or something.
No, we
didn't do anything
back
bad.
In the 70s, you know.
No, we sang songs and we entertained.
It was an innocent relationship.
Yes,
that's nice.
We had a good relationship. Tony Denikis is here too. Tony, welcome.
Hi.
What are you going to play?
Well, I wrote a song just a couple months ago, and and I'm not even sure exactly what to call it yet, to be honest with you.
Cool.
But it's a brand new song, and I can go ahead. And it's not a piano song. It's a song about fighting a piano, though.
Fighting a piano?
No, I'm lying. No. It really has nothing to do. I fought a piano once and lost, so maybe I'll write about that one day.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Thank you. Sometimes I feel high, sometimes I feel low. How long I'll be down here, baby, ain't nobody knows. And I know I ain't never gonna be the same. You made me see red, I made you feel blue. Got our purple hearts mixing up the two. And I know it ain't never gonna be the same. And I never meant to break your heart in two, but baby, what else could I do? I was born to be a fool. And I know that you can't love me like you did, after all the things I'd done, setting fire to that bridge. And I remember how, and I remember when, spent my lonesome thinking about the way you loved me then. And I know I ain't never gonna be the same. I never meant to break your heart in two, but sugar, what else could I do? I was born to be a fool. And I know that you can't. can love me like you did. After all the things we've done, setting fire to that bridge. Sometimes I feel high, mostly I feel low. How long I'll be down here, baby, I ain't really know. But I know it ain't never gonna be the same. It ain't never gonna be the same. It ain't never gonna be.
That's Tony Denikis. You can send a name in for that song if you would like. He's still searching. I always forget your voice, Tony, which is, it's just incredibly distinctive in its sound and comfortable all at once. It's an amazing sound. How long have you been singing and writing songs now?
Well, you know, I still remember third grade walking into Mrs. Tremarchi's music class as a new student to Bond Mill Elementary.
And what city was this in?
This is in Laurel. And having Mrs. Tremarchi say, "Who here can sing?" And I raised my hand up, and she was a little surprised since I was the new kid in the class. And I sang, "I want a beer just like a beer that pickled dear old mom."
I want a beer just like the beer that pickled dear old mom.
That's exactly it.
A parody of I Want a Man Just Like the Man. And what was her reaction to that?
Oh, well, she just lit up like a Christmas tree. She thought, I got me one.
Now, today you would be sent to a positive behavior reinforcement area. Your mom would have been called and,
right. Exactly. Yeah.
So did she start encouraging you to sing more after
that? Oh, yeah. She put us together. We had a little vocal group that we started touring around, you know, to different elementary schools and different festivals. And we were doing red light, green light around the town and I did, a number of John B. Slope and, like I didn't know it, but I was being indoctrinated at a very young age into the folk music scene. And I'm not sure that that's probably ought to be illegal as well, I think.
Well, I remember Go Tell Aunt Rhody, and a horrible song to introduce to children about the Grey Goose being dead. It's better than Ring Around the Rosie, I guess, but... But Erie Canal was a big one, and Pittsburgh is a smoky old town, which got folk processed into, like, Pittsburgh is a sunshiny town or something.
Right. But, yeah, I still remember, early music class, learning Eleanor Rigby, and singing that. And I just think we had just had such a wonderful, times they were changing. We were singing that, and...
Wow.
It's just what a wonderful array of music to choose from that our teachers were teaching us back then. We had no idea they were all classics, we just thought we were singing,
That's Tony Denikis. What was it like for you, Laurel? Growing up, were you singing or? I said Laurel. My gosh,
okay.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Laurel Berylyn.
Okay.
I know better. This is Ellen Cherry. I caught my speako. People make typos. I make speakos. I'm like thinking about Laurel Berylyn. This is Ellen.
I was lucky enough to have parents who were into the folk and 70s songwriter, 60s, 70s songwriter tradition. So I had a healthy, nutritious diet of wonderful storytelling, including some older folk like Elizabeth Cotton as well, and blues. But I also got a healthy dose of pop music in the 80s, and I think it's a little bit underrated. There was some really good songwriting happening in the 80s as well. Pop music was still about some story and some form, unlike today, where it's beat and words that are somewhat related. Am I being too harsh on the current pop scene? But my parents gave me piano lessons when I was a kid and cello lessons, and then I picked up the guitar, and that's kind of how I ended up being, being a musician.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're surprised, and I think, why would you be surprised? You're the ones who sent me to lessons.
Well, it's an odd, you know, and I talk about my brother David all the time. I still don't, you know, my oldest brother, the same one who made me run into the piano, David's getting a lot of airtime today, you know, is 50, he's coming up on 60. I can't compute his age right now. He's a professional musician, and he has been his whole adult life. And I really believe that my dad, you know, is still like, oh, David's got a gig. You know, he's going to be – I mean, it hasn't dawned on my dad.
That this is a job.
Yeah, this is a job. He actually sustains himself. He, you know, this is what he does for a living.
It's hard for parents, because I think you are giving – you're allowing your child to enter a possibly really risky, insecure living. And there's no – you don't get any raises. Everyone's like, well, eventually you'll win this award, or eventually you'll get this. But you could linger.
You get a lot of performance reviews, though.
Yeah. I mean, you could be one of the most talented people, but if you're at all shy, you won't get any exposure, because at this point in the industry, we all have to be our own promoters.
Yeah.
And so we are lucky enough to have people who have us on their radio shows, which we are really grateful for. It's wonderful. Thank you, Larry.
And Dennis
who supports us, people who work tirelessly to have venues in galleries or their homes and keep the idea of storytelling music alive, which is wonderful.
Well, and it's, you know, the playing field's become somewhat more level because you can reach your listeners directly without this, you know, oddball distribution system. I mean, there's still aspects of that that are important, especially in songwriting, I think. But being able to publish your own works and support them as you travel.
And to activate your fan base as well, to support you, to have them be passionate about what you're doing. I think it's also fun as a music fan. I love to push the artists that I fall in love with to people who enjoy my music. And that's such a gift to be able to say, like, oh, if you like what I do, you'll love what Tony's doing, you know, or this other artist. It's really fun to sort of cross-pollinate.
Yeah, like your own human Pandora.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Which is actually, I don't really believe, no matter how good the algorithm, it's not going to ever be the same as a human being.
You need a DJ.
Yeah.
It needs that human touch.
Well, we washed and we rinsed, and now we're going to repeat.
We're going to wash again.
We're going to wash again. And Ellen, what would you like to do next?
I'm going to do a song called The Whippoorwill Lodge, and it was a song. It's a song I wrote about a family vacation I took as a child. So enjoy this little trip up the road from Texas to the northern parts of the country.
You're no fun, my sister said. Just relax and take a picture with your eyes. And that memory comes as such a surprise. Souvenir, a childhood song reprised. Mom makes us lunch again. And we eat at the formica table in the kitchen. My sister tries to shift the blame. Grandma laughs and says, girl, you should be ashamed. We played games out on the porch. Monkeys in a barrel, gin rummy for 10 cents. And I travel to there from the present tense. It's my beloved land of no consequence. Mom washed the sunlight from our skin in the sink of that tiny 1950s kitchen. Dad hit his head on the door frame. Grandpa smiles, he calls me by my nickname. When we took this family vacation, That's the age that I am now. How does that happen? She washed the sunlight from our skin in the sink of that tiny 1950s kitchen. Dad hit his head on the door frame, and Grandpa smiles. He calls me by my nickname. She washed the summer from our skin in that tiny 1950s cabin in Wisconsin. Dad, he's hit his head again. Grandma smokes a cigarette. She puts her hand upon my head and she says, as the sun sets, don't forget, don't forget.
Boy, that's a heck of a song.
Thank you.
A great. What did your family think when you played that?
That's a great question. I played it for the first time for my parents in Dallas a couple years ago, and my mother loved it. My parents were incredibly supportive of the hobby that turned into a career. And my mother said, I just have one correction to your song because it's historically inaccurate. That cabin, you're misremembering, it's in Canada, not in Wisconsin. And so I chose to keep it in Wisconsin because, as we can hear, that Canada does not rhyme with kitchen.
No.
I would have to rewrite the whole thing. And
no.
I'm incredibly lazy, so I did not want to rewrite the whole thing.
I love the mentioning your mom being 36 and you being 36. I think about that stuff all the time.
I feel about, like, it's flashing by.
Well, I think about, you know, I'm 51 now, and I think, now, what was happening when my dad was 51?
Yeah.
How old was I when he was 51? And what was he going through compared to what I'm going through now? And I've done that, I mean, my whole adult life. And it's really interesting.
Isn't it a Mark Twain quote where he says, I was amazed at how much my father didn't know at 17 and then knew what, by the time I was 21, how much he had learned in such a short period.
Yeah, it was like it was something like when I was 18, I thought my dad was the dumbest man in the world. 20 years later, I was surprised at how much he had learned or something.
Such short a period
like
of time.
Yeah.
I love thinking about my parents being my age and the struggles that they went through. And that's why I'm really grateful that we have photography, because you can look at what they looked like and you can think, oh, yeah, they were my age. They weren't always these older people in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something to think about. That was Helen Cherry, who both of these artists actually have recorded extensively, and I'm going to put a link to their websites up on our Facebook page in a second, but ellencherry.com, simple enough, and tonydenikis.com, but I'll put them up there so you can remember and click on them. They've both recorded quite a bit. Are either of you playing nearby, or are you heading back home?
I'm headed back. I got a gig in Virginia, and then I got a couple of gigs in Virginia.
Oh,
next
call
week,
my
so.
Dad. Let him know that you're,
okay,
you're
yeah,
going to eat tomorrow.
I'm playing in Rochester, New York next Saturday at Cafe Veritas. So Cafe Truth.
Cafe Truth.
I will try to tell the truth one
day. You have to like that. You're reminding me of another story, which we have enough time to tell it. But in my other life, I was an environmental engineer, and we developed a database of ways to clean up the environment. And our client insisted that it be called Veritas, and we had to come up with a retronym, which is like an acronym, except you start with the word, which was Veritas, and then you come up with the acronym for – or you come up with what Veritas is supposed to symbolize.
Voraciously ecological.
It was like very environmental, or ecological. But
that's a long one.
We spent a lot of time trying to come up with something.
How much money did the retronym cost? You know, that's the thing you have to do, like the cost-benefit analysis.
Well,
like,
indeed. It starts to give you appreciation for those $800 hammers, you know, things, although this wasn't the government. We came up with something, and I'll be darned if I can remember. I think it was Vendor Environmental Remediation information.
Yeah,
something.
Veritas.
But we got there. I kind of wish they had chosen truth or maybe simply like it.
Yes.
Well, Tony, you're up now. What would you like to do?
Well, you know, it seems that we've been talking quite a bit about family. And so I would be remiss not to mention, you know, do a shout out to my dad who's recovering in the hospital. I spent the last few days this week with him, he's an 84-year-old guy. And I got to tell you, I've spent most of my songwriting career stealing his one-liners. And I've given him no credit on any of my writing. And I honestly, it's about every third song of mine has a number of his just little one-liner sayings. And so I'm going to say that I co-wrote this song with my father. It's one of his favorite things to do, particularly when he's in a group of people. He always loves to proclaim that only the mamas know who the daddies are. And so I think I may name this song that, and I certainly ripped off that line from him. And this goes out to you, Pop, if you're out there listening. And here we go. I met a woman in a shelter. We got married on a whim. It's like taping chainsaws to both of my hands and crawling out on a limb. She said, ain't nothing for certain, baby. And I said, that's one thing for sure. She says, I love you forever till I don't love you no more. We got a baby in a minute. We named him Tony 2, then came Tony 3 and Tony 4, just to name a few. It was babies and bottles and bourbon and balling all the live long day. She said, sit right here, and then she upped and walked away. Half my babies joined the army, the other half went to jail, and the other half won't speak to me, but I guess that's just as well. Not a single one looks a thing like me, they're just lucky, I suppose. But who the mamas are, only the papa knows? No, that wasn't right. And who the papas are, only the mamas know.
Fun song. Your dad comes through on that song somehow. I can picture your dad with a joke and a one-liner.
Well, he's something else, let me tell you, man.
Yeah, my dad's 84, too.
Is he?
Yeah, he 1928, yeah. Yeah. Or he might have just, yeah, he just turned 85, actually. Dennis McCurdy, thank you for being here. Dennis is the guy that makes it, can I start again?
Yeah, lesser half.
The other half. It's you and your wife make this all happen at Bottle Brush Gallery, where these guys were here last night performing. And coming up on November 8th, you've got Irene Kelly from La Trobe. Originally. Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Nashville now,
but she's originally from La Trobe. That's just, and we got some of her buddies coming to open for her. We got Howard Davidson and Greg Davis and Jack Jenny coming to open for her.
And is that Gregor? That must be Gregor Davis. I'm thinking. Great. I haven't seen Greg in ages. And then on Saturday, December 7th, Christmas show at Bottle Brush featuring the Early Maze. And then you're already looking ahead to the new year with Brad Yoder and Heather Croft in February.
So. We're booked through October already.
Oh, who are some of the folks you have coming?
Well, Brad and Heather are coming back. The Plowshare Poets in March, which are local favorites, to do a great Celtic show. Kim Ritchie's coming back from Nashville. Chad Elliott and B.J. Fleming from Iowa. We had Eric Taylor here last year. He's coming back again in August already. He booked a week after he left. And somebody once told me, if you've had Eric Taylor, then you're ready for Greg Trooper. We've got Greg Trooper.
Oh, wow.
He's coming in May.
Greg Trooper is amazing.
He'll
be here in May.
Wow.
And Eric Brace and Peter Cooper are coming in October again. Mm-hmm. And Red Beat Records. And in June, we have Steve Katz from the Blues Project, founding member of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. He's going to be at the Bottle Brush.
Wow. What made you decide to do this, you and MJ? Do you want to? I'm calling MJ. Is it okay if I call her MJ?
Absolutely.
You've called her MJ.
Yeah. But. I usually call her Mary Jane, and that's when she knows she's in trouble.
Oh, yeah. It's the same.
I don't think she's ever in trouble.
That's the problem. She's never in trouble. This was a dream. This was just a dream. You know, I've always been a musician. I've always loved music. I've always loved being around musicians. My dream was someday to own a place where even if I had to pay and I was the only one there, I would have the people I wanted to hear come to my house and play. And I have been so blessed by so many people who want to come and play. We're talking about the way the synergy of all this is. You know, met Tony out in Maryland through MJ.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And fell in love with him out there. He said, boy, you like me, you want to get Ellen Cherry. And so that's how Ellen got here, was through Tony. And it just keeps building and building and building. And these folks come back. We love them. I think they mutually respect us and love being with us. And it's just, we try so hard to give live music a place to be and to let these folks express and to be in a listening room with an attentive, wonderful audience.
Yeah, and it's part of a tradition, too, with whether it be house concerts or church basement concerts or even what we're doing here, as folks, you know, it isn't what you point and click on. It's actually breathing, bleeding, living human beings that are making music. And you say you're blessed. Well, people are blessed to have you introducing them to other artists, and they in turn introduce you to folks and have a nice space. It's a great thing. It's the kind of thing only people can do. And probably a few hundred years ago, people were just as into it as they are now. I think actually there are a lot of people craving live music and experiences of hearing, you know, literate people that you can relate to are craving that experience and don't even realize sometimes that they're craving.
Absolutely.
That.
Mm.
So
we need a community. We need to continue to be a community.
I think part of it too is about gathering together. There's a lot of stuff that's technology is trying to disconnect us, even though we feel connected. We're actually not. You have to be in the same room with people occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel pretty strongly that we're discouraged from gathering in big groups because we have power in big groups. People in groups can do things together. And if we don't gather, even in small spaces where there's 30 or 40 people, I think we've become afraid to do that because of whatever reason. And it's music is a way to bring those people together again and say, you don't have to be afraid. It's groovy. Don't worry.
That's well stated. You had to write songs. You're really good.
I'll get right to work on that.
Ellen Cherry and Tony, and that was Dennis McCurdy, by the way, in Harmony in the House. Facebook page is really probably the best place, you think?
That or the Bottle Brush website, bottlebrusharts.com.
Okay, keep in touch with things. And we've linked to that, too. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for doing that. And
We've got one more song from Alan and one more for Tony to come up. What do you want to do next, Del?
I'm here in the Children's Museum, and you have a wonderful puppet theater, so I'm going to play a song that I wrote, which is, you'll get the imagery, hopefully, from the lyrics, but I commissioned a shadow puppet, Cranky, to go with it, and then last year, the film we made of that Cranky was selected for the Jim Henson Puppets on Film Festival, so I'm deeply into puppetry, which, as you know, is a way to skyrocket to the top of the pop charts. That's, I mean, like, when I think about how I'm going to make it in this business, I'm like, no, I'm just joking.
Actually, here at the Children's Museum, it is.
I am a huge advocate of puppetry. It's one of the original human art forms, and it's such a wonderful expressive way. And the deeper I get into the puppetry world, I feel so excited just by the people and the artists I meet. So I feel lucky to contribute music to that. So this is a song. I didn't write it for a puppet show, but it became one.
Once again, this is Ellen Cherry.
This one's called Pickett's Charge.
When I was young, I used to wonder at the sun and the universe of things I didn't know. Was there a soul like me in another galaxy, peering through an ancient telescope, waving hello? Well, then I read the news today, 7 trillion miles away, a star exploded into space. Could that have been my little friend just preparing for the end by pressing send before erase and letting go? This is a song about the war. And as a wheel in the machine, I've been numb and I've been mean, but I can't take it anymore. So here we go.
Great song. You're really reaching into my head and into my heart this morning. Look for Ellen Cherry, ellencherry.com. And Tony, you are too. I'll tell you, both are two fine songwriters in one place. It's really something.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Tony, what do you want to close up with?
This is a song that, I imagine many songwriters have written half a song when they were in college and finished up the half a song a few years back.
Your dad would want to know about the other half.
Yeah, well, he's learned quite a bit about my life through my music and still loves me, I can tell you. But I wanted to thank Dennis and just real quick just say that the Bottle Brush is really one of my favorite gigs of the year. It's just a great gig, and I want to thank you for having us. The song's called Bag of Hope. Thank you.
And I don't care if the world should end tomorrow, so would all the sorrow, said a friend of mine. There ain't no end of time. And I don't know if I still believe in justice. It seems the iron wheels are rusted. There's too much black and white. Somehow justice don't seem right. Then I jumped the gun, and she shot me when I landed. And I realized I was standing in a pool of my own blood, made from lessons learned in love. And I thought Jesus was my hero. He could learn me how to cope. But he pulled up in his Camaro and sold me my first bag of hope. And I was just a kid when I found out I was losing. In a life I wasn't choosing, in a world too tough to fake, with a heart too quick to break. Finally lost my mind, but I found it in Wisconsin, where the air caressed my conscience. You know, I breathe a lot of air, but mostly I don't care if the world should end tomorrow. So would all the sorrow, said a friend of mine. Man, we're only doing time. We're only doing time. We're only doing time.
Tony Denikis. Great song, boy. Both of you, Alan, Cherry, thank you both for being here today. It's Tony, DNIKOS.com, and Alan Cherry, you know how, the traditional Alan, the traditional Cherry.
Not the Polish spelling, but yes, the traditional English spelling.
And Dennis, thank you as well. Thanks to all of our guests today. Earlier, you got to meet Emily and Monzi from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh, along with Cheryl Jones, and also Sanjala Chen from North Allegheny Intermediate High School, and Patricia Prattis Jennings here from the Pittsburgh Concert Society, and John Hayes from Pittsburgh Songwriter Circle. Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, and ours, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.